Hi, Dave Emery here. This is side one of For the Record program number 816. The 1972 Olympics Massacre Revisited. This is being recorded on October 23rd of the year 2014. In AFA program number 22, we examined the Olympics Massacre of 1972 at some length and in some detail, and we made a point of going in to some of the deep politics and the deep history of that particular event, talking about not only Earth Island politics, in which the Third Reich took advantage of Arab and Muslim dissatisfaction with colonialism in that part of the world, chiefly British, but then once France fell, it was mostly British. Also, Muslims were used as combatants in a very big way against the former Soviet Union, something of the forerunners to the Chechen and Caucasian terrorists and insurgents that one sees today and that appear to be getting some assistance from elements of U.S. and or Western intelligence. We also took a look at the primary role of SS Colonel and Odessa leader Otto Skorzeny, one of Adolf Hitler's personal favorites, a major player in the post-war Nazi diaspora. And like so many good Nazis and SS men, he went to work for the Gehlen spy organization and the CIA after World War II. Back in 2012, there was a series of articles published by Der Spiegel, the German news magazine, some of which we're going to excerpt and others of which we will refer to from other publications. And the disclosures were quite remarkable. One of the things that was disclosed was the fact that the Black September terrorists who pulled off the massacre had actually been assisted in the attacks by a German neo-Nazi, or perhaps more than one neo-Nazi, a guy named Vili, W-I-L-L-I, Pohl, P-O-H-L. Later he changed his name to Vili Voss, V-O-S-S, adopting his wife's family's name. In addition to the fact that Black September got assistance in this from German neo-Nazis, the Spiegel story, disclosed that the German government had advanced warning roughly a month in advance of the attacks that something was going to take place, and yet apparently took no discernible action. Beyond that, within a month after the attacks, there was a very close relationship between the Willy Brandt government in Germany and the attackers. And to this date, even though at least one of the attackers is still alive and occasionally turns up doing material for documentaries, there is no apparent indication that the German authorities are interested in bringing this fellow to heel. It also developed that, well, as we will see, there are a number of contradictions in the official account. At one point, there were five PLO terrorists, then there were eight, and we're going to be taking a look at the indications of possible complicity by German Nazi elements in, well, obviously Germany, in this case in Bavaria, the heart of Nazism during World War II. And we're going to be taking a look at some of the deep politics involved here as well. In this context, we should note that the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement was a guy named Haj Amin al-Husseini, the heir to the Husseini clan, which was maintained in power by first the Ottoman Empire and then the British Empire. Eventually, he sided with the Germans and obtained the rank of general in the Waffen-SS. One of his top assistance in the war against Israel in 1948 after Israel was established and became an independent country. One of his top assistants was a guy named Hassan Salame. He was the father of Ali Hassan Salame. We're going to be taking Ali Hassan Salame was one of the planners of the attack, one of the leaders of the Black September faction of the PLO. And as we will see, he eventually went to work as an informant for the CIA. And in fact, that contact was made by then Deputy Director of Central Intelligence, Vernon Walters, in roughly July of 1973, within a year of the attacks. Eventually, Ali Hassan Salame was assassinated by the Mossad. Something else that we're going to look at concerns the fact that the German Nazi, or somebody who may have been more than one German neo-Nazi who assisted the Black September attackers in 1972, the aforementioned Willy Pohl, or Willy Voss, also went to work as an informant for CIA. The ostensible reason for both Ali Hassan Salame and Willy Pohl, a.k.a. Willy Voss, working for CIA, was to prevent PLO attacks against American and German personnel. While that may be all there is to it, one wonders about the deep politics involved here. Again, the decades-long relationship between German neo-Nazis or German Nazis and Muslims and Arabs in particular in the Earth Island. Initially, they were used as proxy warriors against Britain and the former Soviet Union. Then at the end of the war, many of those same Muslim and Arab elements, such as the Muslim Brotherhood, became proxy warriors for CIA and other Western intelligence services, for whom they comprised an anti-communist cadre. Something else we're going to do in this program is to revisit a fascinating story that has been completely blacked out in U.S. media. In For the Record 806, we took a look at Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon's collaboration with residual Nazi elements in Germany, as well as reactionary German politicians, many of whom also had Third Reich pedigrees, including Reinhard Gehlen, in order to destabilize the government of Willy Brandt. Willy Brandt was the chancellor of Germany at the time of the Munich attacks, and we are going to speculate, and it is no more than that, about the possibility of a relationship between the 1972 Olympics attacks and the so-called Little Service, which was working with Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon, both of whom, as we have seen so often, had a pedigree working with the Third Reich alumni that comprised a fundamental element of U.S. intelligence and the national security establishment at the end of World War II, as the Cold War was gathering steam. I want to stress most emphatically that discussion of the Little Service, the Kissinger-Nixon collaboration with Nazi elements in Germany to destabilize Willy Brandt, that is entirely speculative. However, when Ali Hassan Salame and when Willy Pohl became informants for the CIA, Henry Kissinger was the most important national security figure in the Nixon and Ford administrations. He was National Security Advisor and eventually Secretary of State. And Henry Kissinger was deeply involved in recruiting Nazis to use against the former Soviet Union during the Cold War. Richard Nixon was the prime executor of the Crusade for Freedom, a covert operation which not only maintained Third Reich collaborators as combatants in Europe, so-called fascist freedom fighters, some of whom carried on warfare behind Soviet lines until the early 1950s. Again, these were Third Reich allies who maintained a continuity of guerrilla warfare from the World War II period right on up through the early 1950s. The Crusade for Freedom also resulted in the incorporation of these fascist freedom fighters into the Republican Party, where they formed a small but very, very important contingent. The legacy of that can be seen with the OUNB Nazi collaborationist forces that are currently holding forth in the Ukraine. The OUNB forces became a key element of the Crusade for Freedom, the fascist freedom fighters, and were eventually projected into the Ukraine, or Ukraine, where they are the power behind the throne, so to speak, or behind the oligarchs in Ukraine today. Some other American politicians involved with the Crusade for Freedom. It was the godchild of Alan Dulles. Richard Nixon oversaw it. Ronald Reagan was the chief spokesperson for the CFF. The State Department machinations to bring these Nazis, completely illegal, by the way, into the U.S., was overseen by William Casey, and the Nazi element of the GOP was installed as a permanent element of the Republican Party when George H.W. Bush was chairman of the Republican National Committee. So that is what we have on tap, and we are going to launch right into that. I cannot stress strongly enough that listeners should avail themselves of the massive amount of research available on the SpitfireList.com website, many of the archive shows, the other For the Record shows, for background on this, because again, some of this might appear to be somewhat overly glib or facile at first glance, and it's simply impossible, given the limitations of time, to cover all of this information in that limited period of time. We're going to begin with an article originally run in Der Spiegel and then reprinted in part by the Jerusalem Post of June 17th, of 2012. This is an article by Benjamin Weintal, Weintal. Neo-Nazi helped Black September Munich attack, and it reads in part as follows. Newly released files from Germany's Domestic Intelligence Agency for Verfassungsschutz, or DFV, revealed that neo-Nazis worked with the radical Palestinian Black September group in the 1972 Munich terror attack, according to a Der Spiegel magazine story on Sunday. According to the online report, police in the city of Dortmund sent a notice to the BFV in which they noted that, quote, Saad, S-A-A-D, Vali, capital W-A-L-L-I, an unquote Arab-looking man, unquote, met conspiratorially with the German neo-Nazi Willy Pohl, unquote. Saad Vali was the cover name for Abu Daoud, capital A-B-U, last name capital D-A-O-U-D, who is widely believed to be the ringleader of the plot that resulted in the murder of 11 Israeli athletes at the 1972 Olympic Games. Pohl allegedly bragged to his employer about his contact with the extremist PLO wing. According to the Verfassungsschutz documents, which Der Spiegel obtained in advance of the 40th anniversary of the murders, there are no indications that the German authorities acted on the information provided to them by the Dortmund police. That helps explain, said Der Spiegel, how the Palestinians prepared the attack in the Federal Republic without being caught. Pohl, who is now a crime fiction author, told Der Spiegel that, quote, I chauffeured Abu Daoud through the entire Federal Republic, where he met in different cities with Palestinians, unquote. Pohl also helped Daoud obtain false passports and other documents. Skipping down. It is unclear why the German Domestic Intelligence Agency and the state and federal criminal police authorities failed to act on the information from the local Dortmund police officials. Critics have long accused German authorities of a lax enforcement policy toward radical Islamic groups. The Iran-backed radical Islamic entity Hezbollah, which has engaged in terror attacks in the Middle East and South America, is a legal political organization in Germany with an estimated 900 active members. In connection with another slated PLO attack in Germany, the PLO's secret service head, Abu Ijad, capital A-B, capital I-J-A-D, assigned a poll to plan kidnapping operations at the Cologne Cathedral and in the city halls of a number of German cities. In late October of 1972, the authorities arrested Pohl and an accomplice in Munich, and the police confiscated machine guns, hand grenades, and other military equipment. In one suitcase, police found a threatening letter by the Black September group. The letter was directed toward a judge who investigated three PLO terrorists involved in the 1972 attacks. After the PLO hijacked a Lufthansa plane in 1972, German authorities released the three terrorists. Critics say Germany had failed at the time to clamp down on Palestinian terror activity in Germany. Despite the overwhelming proof of Pohl's terror activity, Der Spiegel noted that Pohl was given a mild sentence of 2 years and 2 months in prison for weapons possession. 4 days after the sentence was imposed on Pohl, he fled to Beirut. As we'll briefly see later, he was in contact with a German Nazi with whom he had worked previously. Continuing, after the PLO hijacked, let me interrupt at this point. I should mention little information that we looked at in AFA 22. The security chief for the 1972 Munich Olympics was a guy named Hans Langemann, last name L-A-N-G-E-M-A-N-N. He worked for the BND, the German intelligence service, which grew from Reinhard Gehlen's Nazi Eastern Front intelligence service from World War II. The German magazine Konkret reported that Langemann, along with a guy named Hans Kolmar, who was head of the BKA, the German Federal Police, the equivalent of our FBI, you heard a reference to that in the article I just read, were involved with setting up terror incidents to blame on the left, sort of as provocations. We have also, in For the Record 333, we took a look at Hans Langemann's work for another German intelligence service, this one, the aforementioned, Verfassungsschutz, that is Germany's domestic intelligence service. While working for Verfassungsschutz, Hans Langemann apparently provided an alibi for Karl-Heinz Hoffmann, a top German neo-Nazi, who was head of the Sportgruppe Hoffmann, which was implicated in the Munich Oktoberfest bombing of 1980. In For the Record 806, we took a look at that incident and the indications that there were very strong international connections to that. It may very well have been part of an international strategy of tension. Apparently elements of Sportgruppe Hoffmann were in touch with the P2 and strategy of tension milieu, people such as Stefano Della Chiaia. And again, that is in For the Record 806. So again, as we take a look at the interesting things that took place vis-a-vis the 1972 Olympics massacre, bear in mind that Hans Langemann, BND agent, was in charge of security, and there certainly wasn't very much security. Later, he was found to have been covering for Karl-Heinz Hoffmann in the Munich Oktoberfest bombing of 1980. And again, the Konkret magazine alleged that Langemann and Hans Kolmar were helping to aid and abet terror incidents to be blamed on the left and to serve as provocations. Another article about the 72 Olympics massacre. This one is from the Times of Israel of July 22nd of 2012, an article by Rafael Aaron, capital A-H-R-E-N. Germany had a tip-off 3 weeks ahead of Munich massacre, Der Spiegel claims. This story reads in part, Germany had a tip-off from a Palestinian informant in Beirut 3 weeks before the 1972 Munich Olympic massacre that Palestinians were planning a, quote, incident, unquote, at the Games, a German news magazine charged Sunday. The foreign ministry in Bonn took the tip-off sufficiently seriously to pass it on to the Secret Service in Munich and urged that, quote, all possible security measures, unquote, be taken. But the Munich authorities failed to act on the tip, which was passed on to Bonn by the German embassy in Beirut, and have never acknowledged it in the ensuing 40 years. Der Spiegel said in the front page story to be published Monday, but made available online on Sunday. That sentence again. But the Munich authorities failed to act on the tip, which was passed on to Bonn by the German embassy in Beirut, and have never acknowledged it in the ensuing 40 years, Der Spiegel said in a front-page story to be published Monday, but made available online in German on Sunday. The failure to act upon that tip-off at the time and the subsequent failure to acknowledge that it had ever been received, Der Spiegel added, is only part of a 40-year cover-up by the German authorities of the mishandling of the 1972 terror attack, in which 11 members of the Israeli team were massacred by Palestinian Black September terrorists. The federal government in Bonn and the local government of the state of Bavaria committed grave errors in their handling of the attack on Israeli athletes during the Olympic Games in Munich and have kept the true extent of that failure under wraps until today, Der Spiegel asserted. For the first 20 years after the massacre in Munich, the German authorities refused to release any information about the attack, nor did they accept any responsibility for the tragic results. Skipping down. On Sunday, Der Spiegel said it obtained hitherto secret reports by authorities, embassy cables, and minutes of cabinet meetings that demonstrate just how amateurish the German officials were ahead of the September 5th attack, which also claimed the life of one German policeman. According to Bonn's official documentation of the event, the Palestinian Black September terror group carried out its deadly mission with, quote, precision, unquote. But the German authorities knew the Black September was a badly prepared group that barely managed to find hotel rooms in Munich, Der Spiegel added. As far back as August 14th of 1972, 3 weeks before the massacre, the German embassy in Beirut reported to Bonn that an informant had talked about Palestinian plans for, quote, an incident, unquote, during the Olympics, according to the report. 4 days later, the foreign ministry in Bonn told the Secret Service's Munich branch about this and advised authorities to, quote, take all possible security measures, unquote. Needless to say, the necessary security measures were never taken. The report revealed, for instance, that the terrorists were strolling by the apartments of the Israeli athletes without anybody stopping them from doing so. All these facts are missing from the official documentation of the German government. The official documentation also conceals the fact that the Munich prosecution investigated the city's police chiefs for suspected negligent homicide, the magazine reported. Again, this is something that there's been essentially no coverage of in the U.S. The official documentation also conceals the fact that the Munich prosecution investigated the city's police chiefs for suspected negligent homicide, the magazine reported. Quote, mutual accusations should be avoided as well as self-criticism, unquote, a foreign ministry official told a special cabinet session just 2 days after the deadly attack. From that moment on, this apparently became the motto of the governments in Bonn and Munich, Der Spiegel wrote. And again, I would suggest that in connection with this, the behavior and background of Hans Langemann, the BND official who was in charge of security for the Olympics and later appears to have provided cover while working for the Verfassungsschutz, the Domestic Intelligence Service. He appears to have provided cover for Karl-Heinz Hoffmann of the Sportgruppe Hoffmann in connection with the Oktoberfest bombing in October of 1980. That also, by the way, in Munich. And bear in mind the allegations from the German magazine Konkret that Langemann and Hans Kolmar, head of the BKA, the equivalent of our FBI, were involved in setting up provocations against leftist organizations. What we're going to look at next concerns the very close contacts between the Brandt government and the PLO and Black September after the attacks in Munich. And again, later I'm going to ruminate about the possibility that the, quote, little service, unquote, that saw Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger collaborating with Third Reich alumni and German intelligence officials to destabilize the Willy Brandt government may have had some connection with the Olympics massacre. One of the Der Spiegel articles, this one from August 28th of 2012, Germany's secret contacts to Palestinian terrorists. This was co-authored by Felix Bohr, B-O-H-R, Gunter Lotsch, L-A-T-S-C-H, and Klaus Weigreffer, W-I-E-G-R-E-F-E, and it reads in part as follows. 11 Israelis and one German police officer died in the Munich massacre of 1972 when Palestinian terrorists took Israeli athletes hostage at the Olympics. Now, government documents suggest that Germany maintained secret contacts with the organizers of the attack for years afterward and appeased the Palestinians to prevent further bloodshed on German soil. Skipping down. Walter Novak, N-O-W-A-K, 48, the then German ambassador to Lebanon, condemned the Israeli action, killing some of the perpetrators of the 1972 attack, saying that the dead Palestinians were among the most rational and responsible, unquote, members of the PLO. A day after the retaliatory strike, the outraged diplomat wrote a letter to government authorities in Bonn, the then German capital, saying that it was, quote, not to be ruled out, unquote, that the Israelis had killed Abu Youssef and the others to hide the peace process in the Middle East. Quote, those who don't want to negotiate are bothered by those they might be expected to face in negotiations, he wrote. Novak's idiosyncratic assessment stemmed from the mission the ambassador was pursuing at the time. Novak had met with Abu Youssef, Y-O-U-S-S-E-F, one of the founders of Black September, about a week before his death. In a two-hour conversation, he offered Abu Youssef and other backers of the Munich attack the prospect of creating a, quote, new basis of trust, unquote, between them and the German government. There was even talk of a secret meeting in Cairo between then Foreign Minister Walter Scheel, S-C-H-E-E-L, a member of the Liberal Free Democratic Party, or FDP, and Abu Youssef. And we're going to continue with this analysis in Side 2 of the program. This concludes Side 1, For the Record, program number 816, revisiting the 1972 Olympics massacre. This is being recorded on October 23rd of the year 2014.